you know, like Erica Kirk, this woman at 17 years old was working with sex trafficking victims at an orphanage in Romania, where she had her Romanian angels. And then she did it again in China. Like, what is it with these people and their penchant for sex traffic kids in Eastern Europe?
All right, I'm back live with Stu Peters. It's been a minute since we've done something. So thanks for coming back on.
What's up, man? I'm always happy to sit down and chop it up with you, Jake.
You told me something just very interesting before we went live. So why don't you break that down for the audience?
Yeah, I just got served papers, legal papers from Charlie Kirk assassination suspect Brian Harpole. He's served Candace Owens and Mitch Snow. So you remember Mitch Snow? Remember who that guy is? He went on Candace Owens and he said that he saw Erica Kirk with Cabot Phillips on Fort Huachuca.
Yeah.
2 days before Charlie was murdered. And then the day before, so that would have been on the 8th. And then the day before on the 9th, he says that he like stumbled across some, you know, secret meeting of sorts. And he reported that he saw Brian Harpole there in that meeting. Uh-huh. Now, I know Erica Kirk was there on the 8th. I know that. I'm not going to say how I know that, but I know that.
Interesting.
And I've always just said, and Mitch Snow says that Brian Harpole was there on the 9th, because I'm not totally sure on that. But yeah, based on the information that Mitch Snow gave both on Candace Owens' show, and then when he sat down with me, I conducted a great interview with that guy. And based on that, I believed that Brian Harpole probably likely was on Fort Huachuca. So first of all, Brian Harpole, who's like the head of Charlie Kirk's security team, at least he was on that day, he has a security firm, and his office, his security office, is located 11 minutes from the gates on Fort Huachuca. And this guy, you know, he went on that, who's that CIA guy, Sean Ryan? He went and sat down with him, and he completely lied about, like, the use of drones. He's like, well, we could have never used drones. And then Frank Turek is like, well, we had drone footage all over the place, which leads to a whole lot of other things that we could talk about. This is the reason why Joe Kent actually basically resigned, because when he realized, well, there's all kinds of drone footage, he went to Fort Huachuca. And he went to the United States military and he started asking for the footage and he started barking up those trees and they were like, yeah, no. And then that's when basically I think that he was probably kind of, you know, hostily pushed out.
He was told to shut down the operation of foreign involvement, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously there was foreign involvement. This is what I can't understand. There is a group of people who would be like, well, Charlie Kirk was a shill for Israel up until his last breath. No, he wasn't. There's literally documented videos, multiple videos of him doing interviews and on his own show, naming the Jew, like quite literally naming the Jew. He wasn't like even beating around the bush. First of all, he went through like this multifaceted occupation where he talks about Hollywood and academia and banking and finance and our government. And he's like, secular Jews are to blame for all of this. He literally named the Jew. But anyway, Brian Harpole was.
Privately, he was also going against it. Like, there was tons of private text messages of him saying he was turning on Israel. There was the one, like, what was it, 24 or 48 hours before he got shot in the neck, saying he has no choice but to turn on Israel.
And these were all confirmed, like, to be authentic.
Real quick, you probably know this. Some of the audience might not, but there's the guy, Paul Valley. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. He's a military intelligence who's on the board of Turning Point. He wrote a book, Psychological Warfare, which is warfare against the American people. He co-wrote it with the head of the Church of Set, which is basically like the Church of Satan, who was accused of molesting hundreds of kids in satanic rituals. And I would say more than accused. It's almost certainly, but there was so much evidence, but the government came and shut it down. So these are like dark, insane people. Look this shit up if you don't believe it. Michael Aquino, Church of Set, and look up what he did.
Yeah, the guy with the weird tattoos.
Yeah, it seems like too crazy to be true till you go down the rabbit hole and you're like, wait, a top military guy, and one of them's a Turning Point now. They co-wrote a book called, I think it's Mind Wars, and it's about psychological warfare against the American people. And they're part of Turning Point, and you see them now looking like there's some kind of psychological warfare against the American people.
These people have been lying about everything. They've been caught in so many lies, like over and over again, confirmable, easily confirmable lies. you know, like Erica Kirk. She, this woman at 17 years old was working with sex trafficking victims at an orphanage in Romania, where she had her Romanian angels. And then she did it again in China. Like, what is it with these people and their penchant for sex trafficked kids in Eastern Europe? It's the same thing with Tyler Boyer, who enjoyed his own connection to a Ukrainian orphanage. These people are, they're just not like organic. And she's the daughter of Lori Francfay, who's a military defense contractor on Fort Huachuca. Remember when, so when Mitch Snow first went on with Candace Owens, the response from Turning Point was like, well, what's a, oh, this is crazy. Fort what? What is a Fort Huachuca?
Yeah.
Some fort in Tucson. Like, what is that? Bro. Lori Francfay and Kent Francfay, Erica's parents, and Erica at the time, Francfay, moved from New York to Arizona to be in close proximity to Fort Huachuca because that's where Lori Francfay was designing and testing weapons of war for the future. You know, and so she is a defense contractor with a company that's actually listed with FARA as an Israeli company agency that was used to spy on American Christians during a memorial for Charlie Kirk. They moved there to be close to Fort Huachuca. Erica Kirk actually filmed a movie on Fort Huachuca where she was dressed in all black, like this latest weird appearance of hers, literally dressed like an assassin and played the role of an assassin on a rooftop with a rifle.
Jesus, this is like, it's like they're telling you. And I think going back to that Romanian angels, the orphanage, the fact that a 17-year-old beauty pageant person had an orphanage, these orphans in Eastern Europe, this is where they traffic their children. Because look at the Epstein files. They want white children. It got harder for them to get white children after the satanic panic of the 80s, which the Michael Aquino, the guy who wrote the book with Valley, was directly involved with. So they started going to Eastern European and trafficking these kids. Now, I can't say Erica traffic is. I'm not making an allegation, but they do tons of trafficking at these orphanages in Romania, and she owned a Romanian orphanage, and her parents' military intelligence. Just start drawing the dots yourself.
And so, and Ken Francfay, by the way, her dad, you know how she like tries to say like, oh, you know, my mom was a single mom and she was just like, you know, doing her best and we were barely getting by. That's BS. Ken Francfay moved from New York to Arizona as well. And this guy is like the founder of Raytheon Israel LTD. And he's directly connected to the funding apparatus for the Iron Dome. So he was like fleecing American taxpayers and working directly with Israel to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars for this Iron Dome. And while they were in New York
with our money,
Erica Kirk, there was like this picture of her in a stairwell wearing leather pants with her legs spread wide open, like the little harlot Jezebel that she is. And then when she went on with Barry Weiss, she's like, yeah, I never really dated before Charlie Kirk. I definitely didn't date when I was in New York, and I don't find drinking to be productive. Bro, you were on a reality romance television show. It was nationally televised where you were dating and drinking, like drunk, crawling to the refrigerator, trying to grab another bottle, drunk, intoxicated. Oh, I don't drink, and I never dated. She covered up that engagement to the baseball player. She had that relationship she tried to scrub with Cabot Phillips, who Mitch Snow says that he saw with Erica Kirk on Fort Huachuca 2 days before Charlie was killed, because she was probably fucking everybody.
These are all just everybody.
She seems like a real like promiscuous Jezebel spirit type of deceptive liar demon thing. None of her behavior is like organically human.
I've seen girls that can't get out of bed for a month after a breakup. She's out there like celebrating, dancing, going on a book tour, a speaking tour, booty shaking with like Megan Thee Stallion or whatever rapper that was. It's just
she's at the White House. She's, you know, at the Trump briefings about Iran. Like, what are you doing at a Trump briefing, you know, about a war that your dead husband, I'm using air quotes, husband, like vehemently opposed and was shouted down by President Trump for being in opposition to kinetic conflict with Iran and Venezuela, by the way.
Yeah,
and then, what do you know? As soon as he's out of the way, we're going in for Paul Singer. We're going into Venezuela. We're kidnapping presidents in sovereign countries in the Western Hemisphere, along with their wives, and then just stealing all of their oil. And where did the oil go? Do you know this? It went to Israel. The oil never even came to the United States. Well, this is for America. This is America first. Yeah, it all went to Israel.
All all these dumbasses are like, yeah, America, we're taking the oil. It's like, no, we're taking it and giving it to Israel. Like everything. We're sick of it. We're fucking sick of it. Everyone sees it now. It's plain as day. Like, you're retarded if you don't see Israel as the enemy now.
Well, same thing with the, remember the Panama Canal deal? Mm-hmm. So Trump gave some speech where he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, the Panama Canal, all of these thousands of Americans died, you know, building the Panama Canal, which his number was wrong. But anyway, like everything that he says is a lie. I think they just keep him in like a gimp closet all day with like his Truth Social machine, like where he's just like going through his tirade.
Truth Social and Fox News.
He's on the phone with Laura Loomer in his gimp closet. And then they just bring him out like whenever he needs to say something. But anyway, he was like, yeah, the Panama Canal, we're going to restore the Panama. We're going to give that back to Americans. We're taking it back. Bro, he gave it to BlackRock. He gave it to Larry Fink, these Jewish billionaires, these private equity Jewish billionaires. It's just unbelievable. It's every single time. The mineral deposits in Ukraine, mm-hmm. BlackRock owns them. The lithium deposits in Western North Carolina, where Hurricane Helene blasted everything in sight, where it just like hovered, totally organic, by the way. It just hovered over Western North Carolina, the largest lithium deposit in all of the world. Guess who controls that? BlackRock.
Yeah.
Just like
Jewish owns the most powerful organization probably in the world. It's Vanguard, BlackRock, State Street. They basically own everything.
Carlyle Group. Yep.
You'll own nothing and you'll be happy.
You know what else they own? They own Rumble. A lot of people don't know that. So if you look at Rumble's SEC filings, oh man, this is going to get me in trouble because this is the only place that I'm allowed is on Rumble.
Yeah, no, I know. I've
seen they were the my Rumble. People all throughout COVID, like Chris Pavlovsky, I don't know. He swears he's not Jewish. We used to talk to each other quite a bit. We talked to each other like every day, actually, because up until the time where I started learning about the USS Liberty veterans, the survivors, when I sat down, about the time that I sat down with Phil Turney and his fellow survivors and aired those interviews is about the time that things started to kind of go south at Rumble. But I used to be on the phone with him every day because at the time I was the largest organically grown Rumble channel on the whole platform. And what I mean by that is some of the platforms, the channels that were larger than mine, they were not organically grown in the sense that they had an auto subscribe feature. So if you signed up for Rumble, you automatically followed certain accounts. One of them was Dan Bongino because he holds $100 million in Rumble stock and he was one of their original investors. Well, if you look at the SEC filings for Rumble, go and do this yourself. You're going to find BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, Dan Bongino. These are controlling investors. And guess who else? Howard Lutnick.
Oh, wow.
Howard Lutnick, one of the like lone Jewish survivors of 9/11.
He missed work that day because he wanted to hang out with his son. You know?
The guy that belly chuckles behind Trump every time he talks about kids getting raped on the biggest pedophile island in known history.
Yeah.
Laughs. He's a scandaler. Howard Lutnick, Trump's little Jew man in the corner. He just chuckles. He belly chuckles all the time over the suffering and plight of the American people. Anyway, he is a controlling investor at Rumble. So we used to have like 70 to 80,000 people watching live during any one of my given shows. And then that thing kind of like, you know, slowly dwindled down to now it's like we've got 1,500 people watching. And then each day it's like, 30 or 40,000 people cumulatively view each show in full each day. Well, last week they kind of let the veil slip down. On Saturdays, every other week, I do something called Stu Peters Financial. I sit down with a financial expert and we talk about, you know, like the economic impacts of the war and like what people should do. And, you know, he gives his take on all of this. That show randomly gets like 340,000 views on a Saturday morning at 11.
Wow.
Okay. So here we are. We're talking about all of these. We're talking about Erica Kirk. We're talking about Pete Hegseth's plane. You should ask me about that. We're talking about Pete Hegseth's plane. We're talking about the war in Iran. We're talking about the Epstein files and, you know, 30, 40,000 people are watching, but we talk about like an economic, you know, we have a financial show and 340,000 people decide, well, I'm going to give Stu Peters a try for the very first time ever.
And it's usually then, like, it's been a couple thousand. That makes no sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And then on Monday, on the following Monday, it goes right back down to 30,000 people. So 310,000 people decided, oh, fuck this guy. you know, I'm never going to watch him again. They all decided at the same time to come and watch me, 310,000. And then all 310,000 said, yeah, this is not for me. So what happened is, you know how Grok glitched out recently and it showed us that our Twitter accounts, our X accounts are being throttled?
Yeah. Yeah. Like bad.
Mine is like 92%.
Yeah.
That's what's happening at Rumble.
An anti-Semite score.
So on the Saturday that they showed that 330,000 people watched Stu Peters Financial, that's how many people actually watched it. And that's how many people are actually watching every day. They throttle it by 90%. They only show you 10%. It's a demoralization campaign because they want people to think that they are not being heard. They are not being, you know, that they're not, that they don't have any good, valuable information. And then they want the viewers, the people who come to watch it, to think that they're watching something that only 20 or 30,000 people want to see, but not 300,000 or 400,000.
And they show Dan Bongino getting boosted up. Yeah, I've never been put on the front page of Rumble one time, despite having like all these big guests. They've done nothing to promote me.
Me either. I had a documentary that was massively viral, and even when that first premiered, it was only on the front page for like 3 hours. And then, you know, so that was that these
Occupied ones. Or
No. Not these. Watch the Water. Watch the Water.
I haven't watched that. Occupied was a phenomenal film. I actually haven't watched your other films.
Super Vindicated, by the way. That's something that I should do on platforms other than my own, is make people aware that there was a film that I put out that basically shows you everything that we're dealing with right now and a whole lot more. I'm actually working on another film with Hibbler right now, Blood for Zion.
This was awesome. Is my girlfriend's brother made her family watch Occupied for Christmas. I'm like, based.
Were they JQ aware before that, or
it was very mixed? But he made him sit down and watch it. I'm like, badass. That's something I would do. He's like, we're watching Occupied. Jake knows all this people. Stuff too.
Because I helped wake him up. People who've seen Europa, you know, if you've seen Europa, it's like, I don't know, like 6 million hours long. It's a great film. Like everybody can see it. It should be mandatory viewing material in every single high school. But anyway, Occupied is like, first of all, it's an hour and a half, so it's a lot easier to digest. But it's for the people who are not aware of this shit. It's for or the people who resist it, the people who you've tried to tell about this, and they're like, yeah, no, I don't believe that. It's like the 101 introduction to the occupation of our country, and it goes over all of the different stuff, but it's all everything gets immediately confirmed and verified on screen so that there's like no doubt for these people to have. And after watching it, they can't be like, well, there's nothing to this. That's a conspiracy theory.
No, so you really
great for your dad or, you know, whoever, whatever other boomer or somebody in your family that's like, okay, whatever. Oh, Jew.
Make them sit down in the holidays and watch Occupied.
Yeah.
You know, well,
I'd probably watch Occupied. I really love Israel. I love Israel. I'd probably go there. I love Israeli Hamish. You know, I'd probably kiss the wall. I'd probably hump the wall. But, you know, Stu Peters probably exposed me or something.
Something that pissed me off when you dropped that film, everyone was like, when you first dropped it, you're like, oh, like $10, because you spent hundreds of thousands of dollars making it. And people were like, oh, how dare he charge? I think he later released it for free. But it just shows you how unappreciative people are. Like, you're probably demonetized almost everywhere.
I am.
You just wanted to get your money back, and people were like throwing a temper tantrum, acting like you're some kind of grifting bad guy.
Hey guys, I'm demonetized everywhere. So if you want to support me and the podcast, go to fightbackpodcast.com and you can buy some cool merch like the shirt I'm wearing now.
Hey guys, I want to introduce you to one of our sponsors, Antelope Hill Publishing. Antelope Hill publishes books such as Culture of Critique by Dr. Kevin McDonald, who's someone I've interviewed on my show. He talks about the evolutionary strategy of the chosen people. So go to antelopehillpublishing.com and use promo code FIGHTBACK to support the podcast and get a discount. That's antelopehillpublishing.com and promo code FIGHTBACK.
That kind of pissed really me off.
Speaking of being demonetized, I learned something yesterday. Check this out. So I'm not allowed on YouTube. No Facebook, no Instagram, none of that, but I'm not allowed on YouTube. And I used to have a podcast on Apple Podcasts that was banned for COVID disinformation, but it's still there. I'm not allowed to make any new ones on Apple Podcasts. We do, SPN Live is the name of the new show. So that's where we prefer people go, Spotify and Apple Podcasts, Rumble, whatever. But a lot of people probably don't know that I'm on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It's SPN Live. If you just search Stu Peters, it'll show up, but there's an even older one that I'm not allowed, that had a ton of views from COVID, and I'm not allowed to use that one, but they left the old episodes there. So on YouTube, and then it's also on Amazon Music. On YouTube, Amazon is paying like Amazon is paying YouTube to place ads for the Stu Peters Show, the old episodes, and there's a link that points to the old episodes.
And you're demonetized. YouTube,
and I'm demonetized on, well, I'm banned from YouTube. I cannot be on, you can have me on YouTube.
Yeah, so
Jimmy Dore had me. Yep, Jimmy Dore had me on. A lot of people have me on YouTube. But I am not allowed to exist there. My content can be, and they can profit by selling ads with my name in them. So they can use my name to profit, and Amazon can buy ads for my show that exists on their Amazon Music that I'm no longer allowed to upload to.
That's just disgusting. But I mean, I wonder who owns YouTube.
Criminal. Google, but
sounds a little bit Jewish.
If I had the money and I was a litigious person, I probably would have a lawsuit, but I'm not a litigious person. I hate court.
They use lawfare, but it's not really in our nature to use lawfare. It's like, maybe we should get better at it, but I'm the same way where I don't want to sue, but these people will sue us over everything. Like you said, you're currently handed a lawsuit by the Turning Point people.
I'm also being sued by a homosexual in New York. there's this guy on, so I'm being sued by Charlie Kirk assassination suspect Brian Harpole and a homosexual in New York. The reason why in New York, so there's this guy who is a public figure. He calls himself NYC Gay Dad. Go look this guy up. He's got, or don't, but he's got like, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers across his platforms. And so I stumbled across on Instagram, like Instagram throws this shit in your face. I'm certainly not following some guy called NYC Gay Dad.
Yeah.
But I stumbled across this video where he's like with his kids and they just went to one of these homo fests, like these gay pride. It was like during the month of June. And he took them to one of these like events where there's trannies walking around all over the place, transgenders walking around, and there's like, you know, all kinds of degeneracy and perversion while these people rub their genitalia in the faces of kids and cops protect them if you want to do anything about it. And anyway, he takes this video. He's got cock rings on these kids' wrists, who he calls his own kids. I think there were three of them, maybe four of them. And he's like giggling.
All
and he's,
boys? Or?
All, yeah. Well, no, I don't think so. There was like two boys and a girl.
Because typically I've noticed typically gay men, when they buy children, they buy boys.
I don't know that he bought them. I think allegedly they're like literally his kids. Made the choice to go be gay, which kind of knocks out that whole I was born this way thing. Sorry, Lady Gaga. I know you weren't. But anyway, they put he put these cock rings on their wrists, and then he was parading them around, making videos, exploiting them for money on his Instagram channel by making videos with this kind of content. And then he was like, do you like their new bracelets? Do you like their new bracelets? And I just found that to be completely disgusting. So I gave my opinion on this. And I said, you know, maybe the special victims unit of the New York PD should look into this guy.
Yes.
You know, and because I would consider that to be, it's my opinion that that is child abuse.
Yes, I would agree.
And then what do you know? We get the takedown request. And I'm like, okay, whatever. We'll take it down. I don't even care. Whatever. Just take it down. So we took it down literally from everywhere. So we immediately comply with the takedown request. And then despite that, he hires some lawyer, and now they're suing me. And I have to go to New York to defend myself in New York City.
Ooh, and that's going to be tough in New York City. This is the most liberal.
Can you imagine Stu Peters, you know, like the world's foremost anti-Semite in a courtroom full of Jewish people? I'm sure there will be. It'll be all Jews.
Jewish attorneys, probably. That was like the Daniel Penny. It was the Jewish prosecutor that kept being like, this white man with just disgust in her voice.
And then it's like required if you're living in New York to be like that you're a homosexual. You have to be. You're not trendy. You're not cool if you're not gay, you know, living in New York. So that's who's going to be on the jury, homosexuals and Jews. And it'll be like, you know, and probably some Jewish homosexuals. And then here I am on trial for like giving my opinion about this homosexual guy who was parading his kids around with cock rings on their wrists.
Yeah, you think pedophilia is bad, so therefore you're being sued. Is this guy a Jew?
And I don't even know if it was like pedophilia. I don't know. Like, I don't know if the guy's raping his kids, and I didn't allege that. Well,
having cock rings on your wrist, that's like pretty close. I better not say it because this dude might sue me too, but that's like walking around with cock rings on your wrist of a child, I think that you should be arrested for that.
And then putting them on video and exploiting them for money on your Instagram channel. And then he was like having them give, he did highly produced videos where these kids are like, hi, I'm so-and-so and my dad is gay. And I'm so-and-so and my dad is gay. And then he would be on film being all cute. Like he has his like Travis Kelce jersey and he's like winking, hey, Kelce, give me a holler. Like, God, because he probably knows that Travis Kelce is gay, because just like everybody knows Travis Kelce is gay, and that this whole thing with Taylor Swift is just completely fake. Mm-hmm. Just well, like who owns her music catalog. Yeah. George Soros may own her music catalog, but Satan owns her soul.
Yeah, it seems that way. I don't even know a lot about her, but I know she got so famous out of nowhere. They just like heavily pushed her. I hardly knew who she was, and she was in Vegas and it was like sold out. I'm like, how did this girl get so popular? She has nothing interesting. She's boring. She has doesn't have good songs, doesn't have good music. That football player is like got no personality, but that they're so heavily pushed down our throat. Like they create these stars that have no interest and they make them out of nowhere. I mean,
yeah, Luke Perlman did that. I mean, that was like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, all these people, they're all like made when they submit to whatever kind of horrific abuse they have to subject themselves to in order to like be big and famous. I know Little Bow Wow, there was a lot of rumors that kid was repeatedly raped by Jermaine Dupri, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, like Busta Rhymes is gay.
Yeah.
You've seen the Tupac stuff.
Diddy literally like raped or made all these gangster rappers have sex with them. So all these hardcore gangster thug rappers, which also all the producers are Jewish, telling them to rap about doing drugs and killing people, how cool it is.
Meek Mill thing. You remember that? He was just getting booty banged. Did you hear that?
Who was that?
Meek Mill, they played it on TMZ where like there was a security guard standing outside of the room that Meek Mill was in with Diddy. And you could just hear Diddy just go into town on Meek Mill. And then like a couple minutes later, they were in the pool and Meek was like looking like his ass hurt really bad. And Diddy's like, yeah, you're putting in that work, boy. You're putting in that work.
And then they have you on video getting raped. And what I believe it was Clive Davis was his producer, I think. And he kind of got left out of all the allegations. God's chosen people don't, they kind of get a free ride, kind of like the Epstein files not getting released. You see the same pattern of the same people with the law never goes after them. The Jewish billionaires, the law just leaves them alone. And we're sick of it. They want to call us names, anti-Semitic, to be like, hey, I just want to follow the same rules as them. And I don't want them to rape our children.
Yeah. And now the Noahide courts of justice are coming here where it's going to make it illegal for you to, you know, if you're a Christian, worship Jesus Christ, because that would be considered the worship of a false idol, because they don't consider Jesus Christ to be the Messiah, which is really weird about the. Have you figured out the Judeo-Christian thing?
It's absolutely retarded because they hate Jesus. They despise him. They spit on Christians. They killed Jesus. The Talmud said he's burning in human feces and cum in hell for eternity. They hate Jesus with absolute passion. And they say Judeo-Christian, the Muslims, you know, whether you like Muslims or not, at least they love Jesus. They have a whole chapter about the Virgin Mary. They would never call her a whore like the Talmud does. So it's you see them destroying statues, you know, even that Kuhn, the Kuhn Tatum, when he went to interview Netanyahu, he's like, yeah, it wasn't too bad. You know, I only had one kid spit on me. I've never had a kid spit on me. If a kid spit on me, I would grab that little shit and shake that little fucker. You know, a kid that's spitting is the most disrespectful thing you can do.
It's really like, is. It's like, yeah. And there's been plenty of people who have documented this when they go to,
oh yeah.
You know, when they go to Israel and they're a Christian, they all get spit on. There's been a lot of that. I mean, I've seen that all over the place, but I have not been able to figure out this Judeo-Christian thing and why so many Christians are like, they just go along with it and they nod their heads when some politician gets up on some stage somewhere and says, well, our country was founded on Judeo-Christian values.
Yeah,
like, nigga, shut the fuck up. I mean, grab that guy by the hair and drag him the hell out of here. Who the fuck are you? This is a Christian country that was founded by Christians for Christians, you know, and is predominantly still Christian. And then, of course, you know, you have the whole evangelical block that has been completely subverted by that Scofield reference Bible. And, you know, God's chosen people and this whole narrative about how you have to give to Israel, worship Israel, bless Israel, or you will not be blessed. Curse Israel and you will be cursed. And that just doesn't even exist. And then Tucker Carlson asks Mike Huckabee about this. And he's like, well, that's not what it says at all. And he just like skips right over it. And then Tucker gets attacked for being this for being a hate-filled anti-Semite.
Yeah, they've done a good job of brainwashing the church people, them and Trump. That's all they have left. If MAGA and the far religious people, if they stop supporting Israel, Israel's done. But it's been indoctrinated. They've done a good job of indoctrinating from a young age. They've infiltrated the church. You know, they came in, they rewrote the Bible. A lot of these people were Jewish. They converted to Christianity. They're the ones that pushed all this. I'm for sure they really were Christians. They felt Jesus in their heart, but they came in, they pushed all this Judeo-Christian values, and here we are today.
They say Jesus is the king of the Jews, not these Jews. Jesus called out these Jews. He was like, yeah, they're Jews. They say they are Jews, but they're not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. These people who call themselves Jews are the ones that Jesus Christ chased out of the temple after he whooped their ass with the whip that he braided himself and flipped those tables. These are the money changers that Jesus was talking about. These usurious private equity Rothschild demons.
You know, they always taught us that like Jesus was a pacifist. I think that was to make him weakened and stuff. I remember as a child getting taught that Jesus built a whip, went in, pre-planned, and attacked the temple. He went in and attacked the moneylenders, like the Rothschilds, with anger, flipping tables. It's also where they did their demonic sacrifice. So he's like, no, I'm attacking these people.
You weren't taught that in church. You probably weren't taught that in church because you went to a church that was already infiltrated by the Schofield nonsense. It's been going on for a long time. You know, and I think, you know, since at least before the boomers, you know, and it's just always been like this greatest ally, God's chosen people. Do not say anything about these people. You can criticize Islam all day. You can criticize Buddhists. You can criticize atheists and, you know, people who are religiously agnostic. You can certainly criticize Christians. Remember when Mel Gibson went on with Joe Rogan and Joe Rogan, because he's on Spotify, he's playing dumb. Mm-hmm. And we all know, I mean, Mel Gibson, he's like the only guy in Hollywood to ever portray Jesus Christ in a positive light with Passion of the Christ. And he was like accosted among his own people in Hollywood, his colleagues in Hollywood for that. And so here he is sitting with Joe Rogan, and Rogan is like, for some reason, it's like Christianity, kind of gets a bad rap in Hollywood. I don't really know like exactly what it is, but there's like, you know, like Christianity, because it seems like, you know, you could talk about any other, but like Christianity Christians get a bad rap in Hollywood. Like, why is that? And Mel Gibson's like, well, yeah, it is. It's kind of weird. Like, I don't know, but you're right about that. Like, at that point, why wouldn't he look Joe Rogan right in the face? Because Mel Gibson, obviously,
he's known forever. He's super
base. Why wouldn't he look Mel Gibson right in the face and look into the camera to Joe Rogan's entire audience and say, because of the Jews. It's the Jews, Joe. That's why. It's the fucking Jews. Like, why wouldn't you do that? That's probably why I'm uninvited, like, everywhere. You're the only guy that'll have me on, basically.
That's crazy.
Candace won't have me.
By the way. Despite being like botted, only Rumble, tons of people still watch you, which is impressive. The fact that you've been pushed off of every platform and you get people to go over Rumble, a platform that barely works, barely pays, by the way.
It doesn't pay. I'm literally demonetized everywhere. I lost my shit on X, can't be on YouTube. And I'm not crying, you know, because if money were that important to me, I certainly wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, when people like accuse me of being a grifter and stuff, it's like, we wouldn't do this for money.
Come on, man. You know, like, I'm selling coffee, okay? I'm selling Blu-ray DVDs to a film that I already put out for free, just hoping somebody will be like, well, I'll support this dude. He does really great work. I'll support him.
Yeah, buy a film, even though you're giving it out for free. If you have extra money, if you want to support me, you can go to Fight Back Podcast, and you can buy like shirts or other merch. This Dan Blazarian one, this one goes all to Dan's campaign. I have a couple of those. That money goes to Dan's. The rest of the shirt goes to support my podcast and stuff. And I think it's very important, speaking of Dan, that we get him elected. And how disappointing has it been that no big names has endorsed Dan? I think like me, you.
Well, you know no what? Endorsed Dan. Yeah. It's really concerning. Do you think Tucker or Candace will have him on?
I've been trying to reach out and haven't had any response back, so I don't know.
You know why?
Maybe they haven't seen the messages. Why?
Because they are damned if they do, and they're damned if they don't. Because if they have Dan Bilzerian on, who doesn't give a shit about your feelings, If you have Dan Bilzerian on, here's what's going to happen. He's going to say what he says, which is evidence-based. It is objective. It is, in most cases, factual and inarguable and irrefutable. And he's going to point out the multifaceted occupation of our country by Jewish supremacists and Jewish billionaires. He's going to talk about the Jewish problem. And if they agree with him, if they just nod their heads and agree, I mean, there goes their platform. There goes their monetization. The machine comes after them and they're fucked. And then if they argue with him, if they disagree with him, well, you saw what happened to Patrick Bet David. You saw what happened with Piers Morgan. You saw what happened with the people on TMZ. And you see what happens to anybody who tries to argue against this is they just get completely mowed down. And Dan will completely roll over them like a steamroller. And then they're fucked either way. So it's like, how do they have him on unless they're just authentically honest people who don't care about money? That's the only way that you could have Dan Bilzerian on is if you are an authentically honest person who doesn't like love money. You don't do all of this for the money. You know, Dan's not running for Congress for the money. This is
he does not want to do this. I helped talk him into this. He did not want to do this. Dan is the most honest person I've ever known. He is brutally honest. He'll tell you things you don't want to hear sometimes, but it's always what he believes. And that can be actually very helpful if you know he's not just saying it to be negative. You know, someone's saying something to be negative, but if someone criticizes you in a to try to help you, that's very beneficial. And he just always speaks exactly what he believes to be true. That is so rare. People don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah. I'm a little salty though about a bad t-shirt experience because I see you wearing yours and
I'll send one out to you.
Or are you making them?
Yeah. I'm making them. So that's what I made these to help you to help support the Dan that I made a few of them. I decided not to put a couple of them. They're a little too antiseptic. So I decided not to push those. Fight Back Podcast. If you want to get some shirts, what's that?
I said, what is with Nick Fuentes? I heard that he was just counter signaling Dan. I saw like a clip of him trashing this America First United event that, you know, in some way, I guess was there to support Dan Bilzerian, or at least in part, it was for that.
Well, it was to support all anti-Israel candidates, whether they're left or right. And yeah, I haven't seen what he said. You know, I've had some fights with Nick. We've agreed not to attack each other. So I'm going to be very tactful.
But it's concerning if he's counter-signaling Dan.
Yeah, I agree. You know, so obviously, if he's saying bad things about Dan, then that's going to change everything because Dan's a good friend of mine. And like, if he's
like, what are you doing? Why would he do that?
Well, if he's really doing that, then it starts being like, is he a bad actor? Is it jealousy? I don't know. I need to call Nick. I don't want to criticize him without everybody. I need to talk to him. You know, I think it's better that I call him and have a private conversation with him and see what's going on because
he takes everything personal too, because I'll say this and then he'll come and attack me. Watch. And I don't give a fuck. Go ahead. I don't care.
No, exactly.
What he's saying is the truth. He's attacked everybody. He attacked Tucker after he had him on. He attacked Candace. Maybe that one is a little bit more deserving because she kind of like fucked him and put him behind a paywall or whatever. Hey, Christo, and kind of like set him up. But
Christo, this is cut out. Hold on, my screen cut. I want to make sure it's still recording. I can't see you, but whatever. I guess it's still recording. I'll try to get it fixed on my end.
Oh, you're recording us? Is that what you do? You're recording our conversation, our private conversations?
Yeah, these private conversations aren't meant for the public. Anyways, it's still recording at least. I can't see you, but whatever.
I don't have any idea why that is. He just seems to like want to attack all these people who are actually like doing good things. And if Dan Bilzerian is doing what he's doing and he's going to be attacked by anybody, well, then you know that that person who's attacking him obviously has ulterior motives because Dan is... Yeah, what is the upside for Dan running for Congress? Like, is there an upside?
None. He's rich, famous. He didn't want to do it. We've been talking about the last couple of months. I strongly encouraged him because obviously he didn't want to do it, but he's like, no one else
can
do
it.
I'm not the factor, but I was helping pushing him in that direction, you know? And then one day he, out of nowhere, announced, I'm running against Randy Fine. I'm actually glad because I told him if he ran in Vegas, I would run alongside with him in a different district. So I'm glad he went to Florida. So it got me out of it because running for office is terrible. None of us want to do that, you know?
Well, and I think like running against Randy Fine is kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a badass, like bold statement too, because it's like Randy Fine, as far as Congress is concerned, is like the final Jew boss in the game, you know? He's like taking on that final Jew boss, because these people have to have Randy Fine there. He's the one that's introducing. Well, in Florida, when he was a state representative, he authored the legislation that was signed by Governor Ron DeSantis on Israeli soil.
He flew to Israel to sign. This is very important for anti-Semitic material, because people were handing out flyers with true things about Jewish people. So they flew to Israel and they passed a law where you could get 5 years in prison. They said a littering act if it's anti-Semitic. This is insane. Five years.
It's not even BS. That happened. And Ron DeSantis is in Israel on Israeli soil signing legislation for an American state with Benjamin Netanyahu looking over his shoulder while he did it. And this was the legislation that Randy Fine sponsored. And to think that that's going to end in Florida. No, that's why he got promoted to Congress, so that he can federalize those types of initiatives. And that's what Project Esther is. If anybody has read Project, if you have not read Project Esther, it's 34 pages. You got to read it. It was authored by the Heritage Foundation, which is like, the supposed conservative think tank. And Trump has adopted this doctrine, and it gives the timeline, and it tells you exactly what these people are going to do. They tell you what they're going to do every single time. I mean, this is like publicly available information. I don't know why it's deemed so controversial.
I haven't read this, so I'm going to look this up. But no, they're trying to
project away. Effort. Yes. And it already has silencing. I'm sorry, we got like a little bit of a delay, so it's like I keep talking over you. I don't mean to. What was that?
No, they're trying to pass these laws in America. They already have in like Australia and Europe. A lot of people have seen that famous photo of a girl had a shirt that said "From the River to the Sea." They arrested her for a shirt that said "From the River to the Sea." She wanted Palestine to be free, so they arrested her in Australia. This is coming to America, guys. They're trying to bring this to America.
Along with that legislation in Florida, Ron DeSantis actually mobilized a task force that has arrest powers.
Wow.
The federal government really actually already has that too. Leo Terrell is the head of the anti-Semitism task force. And anytime that you hear the word like task force, you're like, oh my God, these people have arrest authority. In most cases, they don't. It's just like, it's to make you fearful. But in Florida, they do have arrest powers. This task force has arrest powers if you were to wear "From the River to the Sea." Even though they say that, they say Greater Israel, we will have all of the land from the Nile to the Euphrates. Mm-hmm. They say these things. They show the map of Greater Israel. They wear the patch of the map of Greater Israel on their arm sleeves of their IDF uniforms. If you want an up close and personal look, go have a meeting at the People's House on the United States Capitol in Congressman Brian Mast's office, because this fucking clown wears the IDF uniform to Congress to work in D.C. And these people are so disgusting. They're traitors, but they say all this stuff right out loud. So I don't even know how people, well, I do know it's because these people also fund and control the media.
Yep.
And just like Turning Point in USA always was, until Charlie Kirk realized one day, he's like, oh my God, can you imagine? Like, all of a sudden, just hanging around one day, realizing these people are everywhere.
Yeah, I think he legitimately didn't realize it because he came through the church, and then he realized he was just surrounded by these demons and started getting freaked out. I was on a podcast with Harrison Smith 2 weeks before he got shot, and he said he's extremely scared that he's going to be shot by Israel. At the time, I was like skeptical because I still looked at him as a Zionist. And then 2 weeks later, he got shot, and I was like, whoa. He was telling all of his friends around him, all these Turning Point people that aren't saying anything now that are quiet. Charlie was telling them all, I'm very scared for my life that Israel is going to kill me. This is like, there's stuff of this on a podcast before he was shot.
If they genuinely knew and loved Charlie, and anybody who looks at this knows that, okay, come on, bro, a cross-eyed sniper that's never held a gun before, put it together, broke it down, changed his clothes, climbed the side of a building like he was fucking Spider-Man, obtained a tactical elevated position in broad daylight where 3,000 people are gathered. It's a live stream event. The whole world is watching, or whoever wanted to. Billions of people have seen the footage since. And then he like gets down after firing the perfect shot into Charlie Kirk's neck bones of steel, his Superman-like frame. That's why the bullet didn't go through. Like, anybody knows, dude, everybody knows that that didn't happen, including And let's just say that these people were not in on it, which I believe that they were. I believe that they were. Again, I believe that they were. But let's just pretend that they weren't, and that this caught them by surprise too. They would be pissed. They would be pissed off. They would be demanding answers, just like we are. Yeah.
Why are they stopping down the investigations to it? That was my friend. I would be like, "What? What happened?" This clearly, I talked to multiple Green Berets. They said there's no way he took that gun apart. And they said also it wasn't that bullet. I'm not a gun expert, so I went to the experts. The experts all said unanimously, "No, that's impossible."
I wouldn't say that I'm a gun expert, but I've hunted since I was 7 years old. Since I was 14 years old, I've had a 30-06. It was the weapon that I used. The firearm that I used when I went elk hunting in Colorado. It's the firearm that I use when I go deer hunting in northern Minnesota. And I only use it in northern Minnesota because there's a big wide open field and there's some long range shots. I don't even hunt with a firearm anymore. I just strictly archery for me. But I have shot plenty of big game with a 30-06. I've seen the damage that it causes. And if Charlie Kirk were shot with a round fired out of a 30-06 at that range, and it doesn't matter about the load, it doesn't matter about the grain, because people are like, oh, well, it was a different grain. It doesn't matter. That is a heavy round. And Charlie Kirk's head would have been hanging on by like a flap of neck skin. If even that, it would have been so bloody. The exit wound would have been, you know, the circumference of this big ass, black ass, beautiful mug, which you can find at spnstore.com. It would have been, you know, massive. I've seen these exit wounds on deer at 230 yards that are running, you know, but they wouldn't be demanding those answers if they were involved. And I believe that they were involved. I believe that they had foreknowledge. I believe that they were involved with the planning of it. I believe that they were involved with carrying it out. And I know that they are involved with the cover up. And whether it's all of them, certain individuals, just some of them, multifaceted, if some of them only knew about it in advance, but they do, they know. I told you about this, I said, ask me about Pete Hegseth's plane. Do you want to hear about this?
Yep. I don't know about that. Tell me about that.
Okay. So Pete Hegseth's plane, the plane that Pete Hegseth almost exclusively uses, it was provided to the United States government, to the United States Air Force by Gulfstream or whatever, in 2000. Okay. So In 2000, this jet was, and so this is the plane that Pete Hegseth almost exclusively uses, and its tail number is 99-0404. Mm-hmm. And you can go on any FlightAware website, flight radar tracking apps, like any of this. This is all like open source information. Anybody can go see this. And this 99-0404 plane on September 8th, the day that Mitch Snow says that he saw Erica Kirk and Cabot Phillips on Fort Huachuca, that plane goes from Joint Base Andrews out west and then ends up at Fort Huachuca.
No way. And you could track. I'm going to check this after we get off this. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah. Okay. So wait, it gets, dude, just roll with me for a second here.
Okay. No, even that's like shocking that he went out there. Right?
And it flew there under a call sign, SAM-702. SAM-702. What SAM means is special air mission. The only people who can approve or authorize or order a special air mission flight there's two of them, the president and the vice president.
Wow.
That's it. Nobody else can approve it. Nobody else can order it. Nobody else can authorize it. So whoever is on board, if it's not the president or the vice president, because if it were, it would be Air Force One or Air Force Two, that would be the call sign designated to that aircraft. But if it's a SAM flight, the person who's on that flight is doing the business of or exchanging a message on behalf of, receiving or giving a message on behalf of either the president or the vice president. They are doing the official business of one of those two people. Wow. So this plane that is primarily almost exclusively used by Pete Hegseth on September 8th flew to Fort Huachuca under call sign SAM-702, and then it departed on the 10th.
This is okay. The same day that people allege the other people were there.
Yes.
I honestly haven't followed the Charlie Kirk thing that close. Or when that happened, there was so much going on, so I don't have all the details in Charlie Kirk.
Hold on. This is only the tip of the iceberg here.
Oh, wow. Because it's already crazy.
30 days after Charlie Kirk is murdered, there is a munitions production facility. You've probably heard this story called AES, which is called Accurate Energetic Systems. It's in Eastern Tennessee. There's like virtually nothing else out there. And what they do is they build explosives and they deliver to you know, like excavators, and they also do contracts for the government. The Department of Defense had ordered, had placed a $440,000 order just ahead of Charlie Kirk's death for a micro explosive from AES. Well, 2 weeks after Charlie Kirk is murdered, I went very famously because there's like, I don't know, 6 million views on this thing. Don't question my math. There's 6 million. There is. Don't question.
High, but all right.
I don't know what that's anti-Stewittic. But there was like 6 million views. Tons of people saw this where I'm like, oh, that was a weaponized lavalier microphone that blew up, and that's what killed Charlie Kirk. The thing went massively viral. 2 weeks after that, AES, this production facility that delivered the micro explosives to the DOD, satisfied the order, which was delivered, by the way, via a private jet that flew from Orem, Utah to Eastern Tennessee and then back to Orem, Utah.
No way.
And it was Hibbs's jet.
That's
okay,
insane.
Well, now on the day that it explodes, October 30th, which is 2 weeks after I released this video about an explosive killing Charlie Kirk rather than a 30-06 from a cross-eyed sniper who loves transgender furries. And apparently, like, you know, he's so comfortable with all of this, he goes to Dairy Queen for a hot eat and a cool treat after he pulls off the world's most prolific assassination since JFK. But anyway, the day that this thing blows up, check this out. Tail number 99-0404, the plane almost exclusively used by the Department of War Secretary Pete Hegseth. That morning, that plane left Joint Base Andrews and went to Fort Huachuca. The afternoon when it left Fort Huachuca to fly back to Joint Base Andrews, at the time that this thing was smoldering after it had just blown up, the plane that Pete Hegseth almost exclusively uses detours on its way to Joint Base Andrews to fly directly over the AES manufacturing facility that satisfied a $440,000 micro explosive order just ahead of Charlie Kirk's death, which blew up 2 weeks after I said, hey, explosives killed Charlie Kirk. The plane almost exclusively used another SAM flight, by the way. This time the call sign was SAM-112, and it flew over this part of Eastern Tennessee where there's nothing else but this thing.
Just
and by the way, when that thing exploded, every employee on the inside died. 23,000 pounds of explosives blew up, killing everybody inside. There was like 16 or 23, I don't remember the exact number. Everybody in that facility died.
I haven't looked on this. It's the first time hearing all this. This is crazy. I'm going to research this after this.
And this plane reduced its altitude and reduced its airspeed to fly over that before then returning to Joint Base Andrews. Now, knowing all of that, everybody can go verify that. And then when
I'm going to look all this up after this because this is just crazy and I haven't heard
and
this.
And then when you do that, go to Grok and ask if this is true and this is true and this is true. What are the odds of all of this happening? It's incalculable.
Yeah, like one in a trillion or
it's not even that. No, Grok went on and on about why it's uncalculable and how this number would be. Okay, now how about this? On that same day, so for 30 years, the JTF Southern Task Force, the JTF Southern Border Task Force was commanded by the 10th Mountain Division, and they were based on Fort Huachuca. And it was the same mission for 30-something years. Same command. It was all 10th Mountain Division. Same command for like 30-something years. But when a division gets a promotion, it comes with like $100 million, new equipment, new flags, new unit flags, new insignia, new technology, new buildings, aircraft, all of this type of stuff. It comes with like, you know, medals and ceremonies and, you know, like letters of commendation and presidential recognition and parades. Like it's a big deal. And they got this 10th Mountain Division, which is based on Fort Huachuca, got this just ahead of Charlie Kirk's assassination, like 4 months. So when a division is promoted, all of that goes into it, right? And then when that division either completes its mission or its mission sunsets and their responsibilities are going to be passed on, the torch is going to be passed. Again, that comes with like huge presidential acknowledgement, trophies, medals, parades, letters, all of that shit. Nationally televised, whatever. It's a big what to do. Well, on the day that Pete Hegseth's plane, 990404, SAM-112, 30 days after Charlie Kirk is dead, and the same day that this AES plant blows up, that Pete Hegseth's plane decides to fly over on the scenic route back to Joint Base Andrews, the 10th Mountain Division was disbanded.
Wow.
It's just gone. 4 months after getting $100 million promotion and they were given command HQ status.
That was the reason. Would they have a reason for disbanding it or no?
No reason. Quietly done. No medals, no presidential acknowledgement, no parades, no news conference, no vice president, no nothing. Just gone. And all of their commanders were like, they're gone. And all of the people who were stationed there have been reassigned and restationed and spread out just like they did after 9/11 because these people were too close. 9/11.
Yeah, this is all new to me. That's completely shocking, everything you said. I can't believe I haven't heard that.
The only way that something like that happens is if there is massive criminality that needs to be covered up. Like, oh, I don't know, for example, the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like, yeah, it was a big assassination. The big assassination probably since like JFK.
It was a high-level military operation, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it was a high-level military operation. And, you know, when you think about it, who are the people that would be impacted by this the most? Well, Charlie was anti-war. He didn't want the Venezuela intervention. He certainly didn't want kinetic confrontation with Iran. Mm-hmm. And he made that well known. He was shouted down by the president. We've been over this, but his mother-in-law is a defense contractor on Fort Huachuca who designs and tests the weapons of war of the future. And we're talking about hundreds of millions or hundreds of billions of dollars collectively throughout all the time that we've spent in the Middle East. And she's the one that designs and tests the weapons of war of the future. And they do this on Fort Huachuca. And she's directly connected to Israel. And so is Kent Fransvik, directly connected to Israel. They had a problem because here's Charlie and he's talking about these things very publicly, very openly, and also doing it privately. And if he's doing it privately, he's probably talking to his wife that he thought that he could trust, his best friends that he thought that he could trust, like Mikey McCoy. And when he didn't, you know, respond to, you know, people that were close to him saying, oh, maybe you shouldn't talk about that, he started saying it on his show. And he started saying it on interviews with Megyn Kelly and with Candace Owens and with Ben Shapiro. And then this Bill Ackman mansion pressure session in the Hamptons, for some reason, Turning Point doesn't want people to know that Mikey McCoy was there. He was absolutely there. He is the one that dragged Charlie Kirk there. The guy who's supposed to be like best friends with Charlie, and Erica was there as well. And when they tried to pressure him and he's like, no, that was the time when Benjamin Netanyahu phoned in with $150 million funding offer to Charlie Kirk. Like, well, maybe the shekels will do it.
Yeah. 150. That's a lot of money. $150 million. Good on Charlie for saying no to that.
$1 billion. And by the way, when Candace said this, I was like, what? And I've confirmed this guy, Pierre, this Jewish guy, Pierre, had offered Charlie $1 billion to turn Turning Point into a $1 billion organization. And Charlie's like, no. Immediately after he died, all of that funding went through. Erica Kirk's on Fox talking about daddy's home, Shabbat Shalom, throw down Shabbat the phone, you know, and
they're using her so we can't ask questions. They're like, oh, you can't ask questions because the wife doesn't want you to. So she's being used against us not to ask questions.
Can you imagine Jackie Kennedy? Could you imagine there being a situation after JFK is assassinated, has his head blown off in broad daylight in front of all of his citizens? Can you imagine Jackie Kennedy being like, don't ever investigate this. You just shut the fuck up. Like, no, of course not.
Yeah, like, if I get shot, I want people to investigate. If the girl I'm with saying not to, ignore her.
Same sentiment here. If anything ever goes down, even if it seems like it's super cut and dry, please don't ever stop.
Despite what your girl says, I'm investigating it. I know you need to take off pretty soon. A couple things I wanted to hit real quick. I saw someone mention in the comments, our good friend Lucas Gage.
Oh, man, this guy. I tried to tell everybody.
Me too. And I tried.
When he came out of Vape Proof, all of that was super coordinated. And
he tried to get me to attack you. You know that, right?
I do know that. He called everybody.
Yeah, he
did know that. I know that he called Bill Zirian too, and not because Bill Zirian told me. But I know that he called Dan. I know that he called.
Told me that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, he this guy was crying to everybody, begging them to come after me to try to discredit J-Proof, which, by the way, it's a meme coin. It's a solid meme coin. And if you look at it now where it's still at, it's still stable. We provided all the receipts in real time. I went into a space with this guy after he trashed me for like months. I went into a space with this guy and literally Dan Bilzerian was in that space.
That's what he said. He said, you laid out the better case because Dan was just trying to find the truth. And he said, Lucas couldn't lay an argument. I also asked Lucas, I'm like, if you could show me Stu really did this, I will attack him. Show me the evidence. He had none. He said, but he told me he had all the evidence. I'm like, okay, show me. Like, he thought I wasn't going to ask him. He's just like, trust me, bro. Trust me. You're not trusting me. Like, no, you said you have the evidence. So show me the evidence. Wasn't there. So
but he still managed to like convince people that I'm this fraud that would steal from my own people. And it's, I mean, like, there was a cohesive movement of people like yourself, Leonardo Joni, Dan Bilzerian, Ian Malcolm. There was the JQ Radio, me, of course, Ken O'Keefe, Max Egan, I know that I'm forgetting some very important people. I'm not doing it intentionally, but there were a lot of people who had come together and we were all talking about this. I had spent like a year and a half screaming about this. Everybody thought that I was crazy. I got canceled from everywhere, lost all of my sponsors. Didn't care because I don't do this for the money.
No, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I do it
because it's true. We were around the same time, I think, that we started speaking up on it, long before the Candaces, the Tuckers,
And then I was like vehemently anti-Trump leading into the election season because I knew that he was compromised by these people. I knew that they had him in every single way. They had him by the balls financially. They had him by the balls via compromat, the Epstein stuff. I mean, like, I was like, no, you're going to get endless wars if you, well, I'm the president of peace. No, you're going to get endless wars. And people hated me for that. I caught all the arrows. But here comes Lucas Gauge single-handedly broke apart the largest, most cohesive truth movement about this issue in modern history.
Yep.
This issue had reached its peak because there were people like you and myself, even Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Dan Bilzerian. Look, I will just say this. The first time that Candace ever reached out to me, it was after I appeared on your Fight Back podcast for the first time.
Oh, nice.
And you had asked me about, hey, what do you think about Candace Owens? And I just said, you know, I got a lot of respect for a woman who had it made. It seems like she had it licked. She had life by the balls. There's really no upside for her in talking about any of this. And although I, you know, the frankest thing, I'm like, that kind of murkies the waters. That's weird. I wish she would just say it for what it is. But I got a lot of respect for her because she is dabbling in something that there's just no upside for her to do that. And the same thing with Dan Bilzerian. He's super famous. He's super rich. He's had sex with everybody he's wanted to. He's got all the toys that he's ever wanted in his whole life. He's earned it all himself. You know, I mean, he's lived like 109 lives at this point. And, you know, he's got his own company, Ignite, like all that stuff. And he's got no upside in talking about this, but he did it. His own board actually voted him off of his company. So like there was no upside for him. Same thing with you. You know, you're
hundreds of millions of dollars, but then I've lost money. You've lost money. We've only lost money, but I'm so glad I did it because I have truth and respect to my side. I don't care if it's a billion dollars.
The point that I'm trying to make though is that those people, Candace, Tucker, Dan Bilzerian, you are a fighter and you're like a trainer and you've got a reputation on the line. There's no upside for you to do any of this either. I realize, hey, I've got great sponsors, you know, through COVID-19, the network is blowing up. I'm all over everywhere. I'm becoming a household name. There's no upside for me. And then I got offered millions of dollars by a sponsor to not talk about this anymore. And I told them where to go and kept talking about it. We all made sacrifice, you know, and all of us cohesively come together at this time. And Lucas Gauge single-handedly blew the whole thing up. Because it created a rift in this movement, you know, whether people want to admit it or not. Leonardo Joni unfollowed me over this Lucas Gauge shit. You know, I mean, so it's just like, and I don't think
she's a great person. I'm sure you guys could talk again. She was just misled. I love Leonardo. He was pushing these lies, trying to convince people he did something you didn't. You know, same thing. He was attacking me for stuff, despite me having given him money, you know, done stuff for him. He's always begging for money. That's all the guy does, beg for money.
He's desperate.
Gave him a place to stay, gave him money, and then just this disrespect. You like, he's someone that'll stab his friends in the back when you could just call him and have a phone call with him. And I think he's done it to everyone. Every friend he's had, he's stabbed in the back. Complete grifter. Now he's like wanting to, I think, go on CNN and talk about the bad way. He's trying to get paid to denounce anti-Semitism, denounce people like us, talk about he fell into the brainwashing. It's just disgusting.
I don't know if you know this or not, but 10 years ago or just over a decade ago, Lucas Gage was not Lucas Gage because Lucas Gage is a foreigner. He's a foreign-born Italian, and his name was like Angelo John Gage. And under that name, if that's his real name, whatever, Angelo John Gage was working with this like white nationalist group of kids. I forget what it's called. There was like a legit organization that he was working with. Well, when the heat came on him, he turned on these kids. He was supposedly like their leader of this white nationalist. Imagine that, being a foreign born Italian LARPing as a white American. And then, you know, to get around like younger white American men for whatever reason, I don't know if he has a pension for that or what. But as soon as the heat came down, because it was considered a white nationalist group, this guy just cuts and run, leaves his day ones, leaves all of these people behind to deal with the heat that had come down on this white nationalist group. And then he just cuts and runs and he goes and changes his name to Lucas Gage and totally reinvents himself on the internet as this Lucas Gage persona, where he's like presenting himself as some sort of a JQ aware scholar or something. Then he infiltrates the real JQ powerful movement of people who are, and call it JQ. I think it sounds kind of gay. Whatever. The Jewish question. Okay, whatever. Yeah. He infiltrates a movement of people who recognize that there is a serious through and through, thorough, deep to its core occupation of our country that we're not going to get out from under by voting. And we're like, you know, making a whole lot of progress, and shifting the Overton window is not even a good way to describe this. I mean, it was like a nuclear bomb went off on the Overton window.
Completely changed it. You know,
I mean, yeah. Just months before that, Megyn Kelly was like, I don't know who this stupider is having this Mo Khan on, but I don't like this. Mo Khan's the fuck the Jews sign guy from Dave Portnoy.
Yeah, I had him on as well because Dave Portnoy ruined the kid's life.
She went on like, I know. They will. Gosh, they will try to ruin your life. But Megyn Kelly was like, ruin your life. Me. And then after us being on this for a while, all of a sudden Megyn Kelly is liking my posts and then she's following me, you know.
Isn't it funny? I looked and she's following me, all these people that were hating on us a year ago, you know, because we were really pushing it 3-4 years ago. And it's just, the thing has completely changed. Now we got to actually change the country.
Maybe for the same reasons that these people will never talk to Dan Bilzerian, they won't talk to me because I'm a dog off the leash and they don't know what I'm going to say or whatever. And they can't agree with me. Because if they do, they're fucked, and they can't disagree with me, because if they do, I'll completely run roughshod and just mow them down. But this Lucas Gage, the movement that accomplished all of that in the short amount of time that it did, and imagine where we would be had we never lost steam and had it never been kind of actioned and broken off. Yeah. You know, imagine if Lucas Gage had never existed, what a beautiful world it would be. The world would be a much better place if Lucas Gage did not exist in it. But that guy single-handedly destroyed the most cohesive movement in modern history.
Yeah, we'll rebuild it, though. But I agree with you, a complete disgusting degenerate who derailed things. I think he was paid. Do you think he was paid to do this? He's also a grifter. He didn't see combat, and he collects money from the military because he says he acts like a tough guy, and he has PTSD from not seeing combat. Like
I've seen some of his Jake Shields crash outs on that particular topic where he's like
so mad about it. It's true, though.
It says that I'm faking my PTSD. Really? Do you want me to show you? This guy is a psychopath. I envision he came here to visit me. Actually, last year at this time, I took that guy to an NHL Stanley Cup playoff game with my kids.
Paid for everything.
Yeah, with my kids and their mom. You know, I put him up while he was here. I showed him a great time, broke bread with this guy. He was on my couch. He was in my house. He was with my kids.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And a week after being here, and he had been asking for a long time, and I got the receipts. I got to come see you. Like, there was a sense of urgency. Like, right now is the time. I got to come and see you. I wonder if that had anything to do with gaining access, getting on the inside, taking selfies with me, because he knew he was going to flip. And if he had those pictures, he could say that he saw shit from the inside out, saw who I really was, and then that would lend legitimacy to what he was doing. You know, I mean, these people work like that. And
yeah.
Yeah, no, I think he was 100% paid. Why would you do
coming out? him coming out to see me too. That's what I wonder. I'm glad I didn't bring him into my house or anything, because when I got him out, I got a bad vibe from him. Like, I'm not bringing this guy by my house. But he was like trying to like come over, you know, taking him out, put him up, bringing for food. And then you're like, oh, this guy's a backstabber. Same thing, guys like Sam Parker, the nicest guy you'll ever meet, way nicer than me and you. He went bent over backwards to help Lucas Gage. And then I think because Lucas Gage, I think he wouldn't denounce you or someone else. So then he
denounced me over all of this too, and still hasn't come back.
He needs to apologize to you. I think Lucas actually pressured him into it, but then he tried pressuring him to denouncing something else. He's like, you can't just keep denouncing, make me denounce everyone you denounce. And then he like started attacking him.
Yeah. Well, look, at the end of the day, here's what I'll say. I told you. I tried to tell everybody.
I told you too. I was telling everyone too. So anything else you want to hit? I know you had to leave pretty soon.
I don't know, man. This war thing, I got to get out of here. But I will tell you this, man. This war is, if anybody thinks that this is anywhere near over, it will be over when enough young American men are sacrificed on the altar of greater Israel. This is their stated goal. They're going to do this. They're going to go all the way if nobody stops them. These people will not stop until they are stopped. And, you know, this meat grinder that Donald Trump has opened up, it just really has me concerned, because I know that it's not about to be over. I know that the Strait of Hormuz is kind of the catalyst. It's the linchpin. It's the thing that's going to set this whole thing off. It's like ground zero for the perfect ever set of conditions to establish a false flag where, I mean, there's 15,000 Americans in the Strait of Hormuz right now.
Wow.
Imagine all of them dying. You know, imagine all of them being blown up or sinking in the Strait of Hormuz, or in the proximity of the Strait of Hormuz. And then that being used just like 9/11 as the pretext to get these boomers to buy into it even more than they already are. And, you know, even probably millennials or Gen Xers would be like, yeah, fuck these Iranians. Let's go get them. And, you know, that'll be the pretext. That will be the cover that they need to then send hundreds of thousands of Americans, certain mission of suicide. Have you seen the layout of Iran? I mean, it's a fatal funnel. You just can't just go in there.
Which is why no president before ever, they tried pressing every president to do it and they all said no. But dumbass Trump's like, sure, I'll do it. Now we're in this disaster where they're going, oh, we need the UN to fix it. Like, we started it for no reason. And obviously Israel is willing to send hundreds of thousands of Americans to die. Look what they've done in Ukraine. I think hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians have died because Zelensky wants them to for Israel.
Yeah. It'll be hundreds of thousands that'll be sent there. Vietnam will look like a cakewalk. And for the first time since Vietnam, by the way, deaths in this war are classified. Did you know that?
Someone mentioned that, but I didn't know that true. Is that true? So we don't know. There could be a lot more deaths. Could be way more deaths. Well, you saw when we tried the invasion. They came in with these like planes that were cargo planes to drop people off, and the planes were blown up. So where did the people go?
C-130s, yeah. But they rescued two pilots, we're told. I saw the chart remains of one of the guys, because you can see the burnt skull in the wreckage. They send hundreds of people on a C-130. Not one. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of them with heavy excavation equipment. They tried to go in there and steal Iranian uranium, like, you know, and build a makeshift runway and then fly away while under enemy fire. It's not going to work. The Iranians saw it coming. It was supposed to be a sneak attack, but we knew about it before it was going to happen, because we reported on their absurd plan to go try this. And then they did it and they got blown up. There's been hundreds, if not thousands, of American deaths already, probably thousands for sure, injured or wounded. We were told that like German hospitals were overrun with American troops that were wounded in this thing, in this war already. But the deaths are classified, meaning, Jake, if your son goes to this war and he dies and never comes back, and you ever say anything about that, you can go to prison.
Oh, wow. That's what they told Phil Turney, who I think we both interviewed. He was attacked by Israel on the USS Liberty. You know, they killed, 37, I think, Americans. And then he was injured. And he was given a gag order saying basically if he ever spoke about it, he could get executed potentially in a military prison.
Yeah. Deaths in this war are classified. Every other country has already told Trump to fuck off, man. Nobody wants anything to do with this, because this is a war of aggression being waged by America on behalf of Israel. Our own so-called elected representatives have all but admitted that. They've said that, you know, that if we didn't do it, Israel forced us into this war. We know that. And they did it because Trump is compromised in whatever is on the Epstein tapes that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, it's probably something dark, in my opinion.
You think? Yeah, I mean, it's based really on dark. What I've read already, you know, I mean, with the cannibalism and all this other stuff, it's been... Yeah,
that's what they let out. So imagine what's in the files they won't release. And it's over half of them, but like all the video and stuff I'm hearing, all the videos and stuff, because someone said it's only two, like they say half the files, but it's only 2% of the data. That means it's all like videos and pictures they're holding. We can only guess what's in those pictures and videos. We don't want to imagine, I don't think.
I don't. But we got to know.
That we do.
You know, and I think that people should not stop demanding that. The tornado sirens are going off here. I think that people should not stop. We have to know what's going on. And as far as, you know, like the American politics and a political solution and all of that, I believe that there is no solution inside of this current system of governance, you know, because and it's my opinion that anybody that's trying to prop up like the two-party idea of Democrats and Republicans, oh, it's the left. No, it's the right. They are bad actors because they know that there's no such thing. So anybody who's saying, you know, anybody who's legitimizing, I guess you could say, the two-party idea, it's the Democrats, it's the Republicans. They are a subversive. They're a fraud. They're likely a Fed. Yeah. Or there's somebody who aspires to have power inside of that system, because then they will be afforded the fame and the platform and the shekels and, you know, the impunity or immunity to commit crimes, all of these other things. They want that power. And so, or they're otherwise benefiting somehow. But anybody that tells you that, that's a serious person or that's educated, they know better. And so they are intentionally being a bad actor if they're propping up that system, in my opinion.
You're probably right. I am. You still should vote for people like Blazarian and anyone with the right messaging, but I don't know if we're going to be able to fix it with this, with the political system. But we need to try all angles, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you have to try. And that's what Dan Bilzerian is doing, is he's trying. And, you know, regardless of the outcome, whether it's rigged all the way, I mean, I guess we'll find out. Because, I mean, you could just put Dan Bilzerian and Randy Fine on a stage together. And you could just be like, okay, you guys don't even have to debate. Just say nothing. Just walk out. We're going to bring everybody from the 6th Congressional District into this room. And we just want you to walk out and just stand there for 30 seconds and then walk away. And then, you know, like, okay, well, based on this, based on who you believe made better life decisions for themselves, who are you going to vote for? I mean, obviously, in every way, Dan just kicks Randy Fine's fat ass down the tracks. He's not even a real person. None of these people are. They're all actors. They're all fake. They're all handed their script. They're all paid to say it. Ted Cruz is awful. Mike Huckabee's terrible. Marco Rubio's even worse. J.D. Vance, my God.
He was in Iowa yesterday.
You could hear one person clapping. There was one person clapping. The people behind him, it was supposed to be one of these like revitalization of the economy events. We're really fighting for the American man. No. You're selling the American middle class man down the river while you're building the digital prisons for their fucking kids with these data centers. That's what you're doing. Yeah. And everybody behind him in the audience was just like looking at him with this dumbfounded look, like, why am I even here? And those are the people who are supposed to be the most charged up, the ones that they put behind the speaker for the cameras to see with their signs and their clapping and their jumping and all that. It didn't happen.
Yeah. MAGA's like
on the wall.
You see it, they like know. The remaining MAGA, they know. You can see they're like, they feel demoralized, but they just can't admit they've been fooled. 10 years they fought for this man. Some went to prison, and they just can't admit they've been fooled. But
I'll send you that stuff on 990404 on that plane that Pete had.
I definitely want to look at that. Thanks a lot for coming on. People can find you at Rumble.
Just go to StuFeeders.com. Get a copy of Occupied. Please help support me. A copy of Occupied, or if you want to listen to the show, though, like we do a daily show, Spotify and Apple Podcast and iHeartRadio. That's the place where it's the easiest to listen to us. But otherwise, yes, we are on Rumble. But again, Rumble is, you know, I don't know. It's BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, Howard Lutnick, Dan Bongino. It's suppressed. They're playing funny games over there. And I can't get an answer out of a guy who I used to talk to on an almost daily basis. He's ignored every call, every text, every email. And that's Chris, the I swear I'm not a Jew, Pavlowski, the CEO of Rumble.
Yeah, and you are guys like you and me is who Rumble should be pushing, and they don't at all. They bury my content, never done anything to help promote me. It's sad. So, hey, thanks a lot for everything you do and for coming on. It's been a while.
Thanks for everything that you do, brother. I really do appreciate you. I appreciate you having me to chop it up with you, man.
As many of you know, I have many controversial guests, so that comes at a cost of being demonetized everywhere. So if you want to support the program, go to fightbackpodcast.com, and I have all kinds of merch on there, whether it's jujitsu, fighting, political, and other accessories. And thanks for the support.